The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined in the studio by the first Western prima ballerina to perform with the Perm State Ballet in Russia, ballet dancer and teacher Monica Lockman, here for What Made Me. Before we talk about that, you limped into the studio, God help you. What's happened?
Well, after I got hit by a car in Russia, now that was many years ago, like I'm much older now, but like it leaves, damage afterwards.
Yes.
So I'm got one leg now shorter than the other.
It's the irony of this. This has nothing to do with the ballet. It's got to do with being hit by a ladder in Russia.
Yeah, admire the ladder. Good job.
But when I ask you, Monica, what made you, I think I can answer that question. Blood, sweat and tears. Would I be right?
Yeah. And as my current part would say, stubbornness. I was just not going to back down.
And is it true that you danced in this very building that we're sitting in today?
Yes.
Yeah, what was that? What happened?
So here, this is Diggs Lane.
Yes.
So Diggs Lane, like a lot of the boy bands of the 90s, sorry, I'm going to stop rustling, were made here. And River Dance was made here. And I was made here.
So you were doing your classes here in this building.
Yes.
And then what happened? You were plucked from obscurity and sent to Russia from this place.
Yes. Yeah.
Who came here?
So a lady called Ludmila Sakharova came to Ireland and picked a group of girls and one or two boys and just, you know, saw potential.
And brought you to Russia.
Yeah.
But you were only a baby. You were 14.
I honestly, like my son is now 16. And when he hit his 16th birthday, I said, at your age, I was in work and I was paying for my own electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's different now.
But when you look back on it, and your parents obviously made a decision at that time that you were, you know, off you go there and the best of good luck to you.
Well, my father was in the Air Corps and he was in the Air Corps from the age of 14. So they had a different perspective. They were of a different era. You know, they thought, you know, send them out to work. And when I found that I'd gotten the job, which was so unique because the company I got into was the third best in Russia. Like it was after the Mariinsky, you know, it was huge.
It's huge, big deal.
It was a big deal. But I remember walking the dog around the block in Santry and I had to break the news. I was 16 and I had to break the news to him that I'd started work. And he just looked at me and he was like, well, that's a big decision. I was like, well, I've been on my own for so long. It was a decision I had to make.
Was it tough? You know, those early years, 14 to or was it always tough? The whole 16 years of it?
The whole thing was tough. Yeah. I loved it, though. I've met so many amazing teachers and people. And like last night, I had people calling me from Spain. You know, they, you know,
lifelong friends.
Yeah, lifelong friends where we just went through the same thing at the same time together.
But the other side of that is that you're, you know, a really young teenager away from home at, such an early age.
Yeah.
That was tough because I assume you were homesick, right?
Yes. Yes. I all the Irish children would fall asleep and I would sit in the corridor and cry so as not to wake them. And I had a novena that I used to say. So, because it's kind of like meditative.
Mm, you know, just the repetition.
Yeah. So I'd say the novena and then I could calm down enough and get back into bed and go asleep.
And did you tell your family that you were feeling like that?
No.
You never said?
No.
Well, what's the impact of all that on you then as an adult? Do you sort of develop a steel exterior?
You do. But, you know, there's things in your life then afterwards, like after having my son and after building my school, you kind of there is an impact. But like you also have to acknowledge the good that went with that. You know, I can't really there was times when over there I was beaten, like severely beaten by teachers. And that had an impact. But it also, in hindsight, I think that's how they were taught and that's what they were teaching me. Do I forgive them? I do, because that's who I am. Would that be my way now? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I think what we should do to every artist, every person, is elevate them. But we were taught the other way. We were like, you know, the amount of times I was called a cow and stupid and all the names. But names don't hurt you. It's when they come and beat you that hurt you.
My God, Monica.
But my father was beaten by, you know,
when he was certain people,
mm-hmm. you know, not his family members, but, you know,
when he was in his early training as a child, as well as you've explained to us.
Yes.
The other thing that you haven't spoken about much is your family background, which is complicated.
It is. Yes. I'm sorry about this.
Go on. Tell us what is the story? You were adopted, essentially.
I am adopted.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm adopted. I love both of my parents very much. I was thinking about this morning. How do you describe adoption? There's kind of two ways, and I can only speak from myself. And it can be dark and it can be very light. For the first 20 years, 23 years, it was very light. I felt like a Disney princess. I felt like
you knew you were adopted, did you?
Always, yeah. But you feel like you're chosen. You know, somebody didn't just get pregnant. Like back then, that would happen, you know.
Your family wanted you.
They picked me. I was chosen. But then subsequently, I found out that I wasn't picked. I was made. So my father had an affair with the woman. I was born in England in a very fancy hospital because she was fancy. And then I was put in an orphanage in Blackrock.
So your adoptive father was your father?
Yeah, but I only found out when I was 24.
That he was your biological father?
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
And how did that settle with you?
You know, through the years, outside of how I felt, I've thought about how my mother and my siblings felt. And I'd say it was a huge betrayal to her and in a way to them. So I have carried that. Mm-hmm. That will always be with me. And, you know,
she raised you and she, you know.
Yeah, no, no. She was amazing to me. Like we loved each other profoundly. And I can't say enough for adoption, but like there is a dark side. And then my birth mother, that's also incredibly complicated. But all I can say is one thing that I think really hurt me the most was when, after 10 years of being around my birth mother, having told my siblings and having told my cousins and whatever, but when she told her family, they didn't look at me the same way. Now, you have to remember, my parents had been dating for 10 years. So we were having dinners together. I was going to communions. I was a part of the family.
But we've missed a bit here. So your mother, who raised you, died.
Yes, right? When I was 23.
And after her death, then your father, who's your biological father,
reenacted.
Started to date your birth mother.
Yes.
How strange for you?
Very strange. She was at all my big performances. She was at the Late Late Show. She was at everything. She was a huge part of my life.
Mm-hmm. And you had a good relationship with her?
It was complicated. I will say that. It was. There wasn't. It's One thing I will say about her, and which I will always love about her, is when she spoke, I kind of went into a kind of a dream. You know, my body would relax. Like, she could talk about wallpaper, but it's something that we don't acknowledge, you know, with a birth mother.
What
the kind of link mm-hmm. that I didn't have with my other mother, who I would do anything for. But as soon as she spoke, I was out.
Incredible.
And I was with her for her. I was very blessed to be with her for when she died. I sat with her for 3 days. I went for a shower that was about 5 minutes away. And I don't shower fast. I'm very fast at everything I do. I'm used to quick changes. So it's like in, out, you know, I'm like head and shoulders, 3-in-1 kind of girl, go. And she passed when I was absent. And when I went in, I just scooped her up.
It's an incredible story, and not the one that I expected to hear from you today, in a way, because we were talking, going to talk about what made you. But I suppose that did make you.
It did make you.
That is all part of your story. Monica, it's great to see you.
It's so lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for coming in. Limp and all. Delighted that you made it today.
Yes.
That's Monica Lachman. Thank you, Monica. Lovely to see you. My thanks to everyone for listening today.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.